welcome you to find your seats. Come on back in. Hopefully you are able to say hello to someone maybe you didn't know, or meet somebody new, say hello to someone you haven't seen in a while. And we're thankful to God for those of us who had fitness resolutions and never got started. Well, the shoveling, it counts. Or so says my Fitbit. So, it counts. Let me ask you a question. How is your relationship with God? How's your relationship with God? This morning we start a four-week series called Encountering God. And the purpose of it is to help you encounter God, to help you in your relationship with God, to get you at least one step closer, one step deeper in your relationship with God. And we've got a bunch of moving pieces to this so that we can give you opportunity to encounter God in different ways, to learn some different ways that you can deepen your relationship with God, and actually practice those or apply those. So let me just explain right off the bat what they are in case you don't know what they are and how you can get involved. So teaching Sunday mornings, what we're doing is we're taking two separate pieces that we've done in the past few years and condensing them, combining them, picking out some of the most important pieces and putting the teaching on Sunday morning. So those two are Hearing God Seminar, some of you have done that, and the Set Free Retreat. They have different purposes, but they work together to help you in your spiritual life so that you know how to hear the voice of God and follow him, and so you know how to walk in victory over sin. And so over the next few weeks, over the next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at some pieces from both of those in our teaching time on Sunday mornings. And then tonight at a prayer gathering, we're going to be applying, putting into practice what we learned this morning. As we look towards our days of prayer and fasting that start next week and give you an opportunity to do that. And if you're not able to come tonight, then there's some resources at the back you can pick up to help you plan what you do. The purpose of the days of prayer and fasting is to help you know what God wants you to do this year, to put some things down on paper and pursue God in a few specific things for this year, and to deepen you. We know that when we pursue God in different ways, he listens. He says, come near to me, I'll come near to you. And he says, taste and see, ask, seek, knock. He wants us refreshed and renewed. And so this is one of the ways we do that. And tonight, we'll be taking some time on our own. We'll have some intimate worship. We'll have some time on our own. I'll walk you through some listening to God exercises specifically geared to this year, your family, your kids, your relationships, and days of prayer and fasting. And so we've put it at 6 o'clock and provided childcare because we really think that as parents and in your home, whether you're a parent or not, that this is really important for you to do and to take an hour out of your week and do that. And then starting next week, what we're doing at prayer gathering by applying what we're teaching this Sunday, we'll be doing in our small group. So there'll be an application piece to our small group. So whatever we learn on Sunday, there's an application piece in our small groups. The seminar will go deeper than just that application piece, and we'll add some extra teaching and some extra application. So if you really want to learn some more things about hearing God and being set free from bondages and sin, how to walk in victory, then that's a great thing for you to do. Can you deepen your relationship with God without the Encounter God series? Without small groups, without prayer gathering, without days of prayer and fasting, without the seminar, the small groups, without all those things? Of course you can. We all can. We're called to spend time with God, and when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It's not that he waits for us, he's there the whole time, but he's waiting for us. But the purpose of doing these is because sometimes we need others around us to help us. Oftentimes, we also don't always know some of the things we could be doing to deepen our relationship with God. So can you do it without? Sure. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because we believe, leadership of Country Hills Church, that we all need to deepen more than we currently are. And our hope is this: you'll take one step further, one step closer. If you're not a follower of Jesus, that you would attempt to encounter God, that you'd listen to him, that you'd pursue him, you'd dig into the Bible and see if it's true. If you're a follower of Jesus, but you're really not spending much time with God, that you would start to do that. If you're someone who, you know, you come to church semi-regularly, you're kind of involved in things, you sort of do this or that in your spiritual walk, that you would get serious. Not for our sake, not for the sake of the church, but for your own. Because God loves you. He's got a plan for you, and he's waiting for you to encounter him. And if you would consider yourself as someone who's growing in your spiritual maturity, that the quality and the depth of your relationship with God and how you live for him in the world would be changed. That's our desire, that's our hope, and we believe that very strongly. So let me ask another follow-up question. I already asked, how's your relationship with God? Does God still speak? Does God still speak to us? You know, there's a lot of people in our world today, and I really don't like when pastors and churches start attacking other churches and pastors and their doctrine and all this stuff. So I'm going to be very light on this one, but there are those who don't believe that God is still at work actively in the world. That at the close of the New Testament, he had said everything he needed to say, and if we just attend church, look at his word, we'll have everything we need to follow him. It's not that they believe he's distant, it's just that everything we need is there. If we just have a good understanding of scripture, get involved at church, and have some others to help us, that's everything we need. And I just don't believe that's true. I think that God is still active and God is still working. So if you have a desire to grow deeper in your relationship with God, if you really have a longing to encounter God, this is the right place for you. And if not, I hope to awaken you to that, because the Holy Spirit, God is already speaking in your heart right now. Let me tell you a little bit about my journey in this. I grew up at this church. I started in 1984, so I was about 10 years old. And my parents tell me that when I was younger, I always kind of had a hunger for God. And so going through Sunday school and Bible quizzing, I did all the good church kids stuff. Gavin, who was playing bass up here, was my youth pastor, and he had to put up with a whole lot of grade 7 Jeremy on the way to Elk Lake, way up north. It was bad. That's when he lost his hair. But I had a sensitivity and a hunger for God. Sorry, Gavin. But it didn't always. I didn't always connect. And what I experienced at church and youth group and camp, heading into high school, was a lot of stories and people who talked about depth. I appreciated some of the older people in our church who just seemed to have a deep relationship with God. And as I hit high school, I found there were two Jeremys and two different experiences of church life. And the two overlapped very much. The two Jeremys were like this. At church, I had a hunger. I was on leadership teams and tried to get involved in all sorts of stuff in youth group. What I found in this church and in this student ministry is that I was accepted for who I was. I wasn't accepted anywhere else. I was picked on and all sorts of stuff at school. Here, I fit. I found a fit. I found people who loved me, and I stuck here. It meant a great deal to me in my life and in my spiritual walk. But I still wanted to be accepted very much so at school. And as I hit high school in grade 9 and going into grade 10, I longed for people's acceptance. And these two Jeremys really diverged a lot between grade 9 and 10. My family moved. I went from being a 4-foot nothing with really thick glasses and braces and really loving track pants that didn't quite fit. I don't know why. To grade 10. In that summer, I grew. I switched high schools. I got contact lenses. Suddenly, my body caught up a little bit. I could skateboard a little bit better. I really liked dark music and dark clothes, and I grew my hair long, and all sorts of stuff changed overnight. And I found I had a different acceptance in my life outside church. But at church, I still was pursuing God. That brings me to the two worlds I experienced here. And the two worlds that a lot of us experience all the time. I heard pastors and teachers and church leaders talk about a relationship with Jesus. Hearing God and what he had done in their lives, and I longed for that. The unfortunate part was there was only a handful of people in my life that I could look to and say, that looks deep and real. I'm not drawn to fluff. I don't like you know, all that kind of stuff. I just want what's real. And I could see through it. And all of our kids, our teens, our young adults, they can all see through all our fakeness, everything at church that we do that just isn't real. They can see through it. Many of them leave the church because they look at that, and even sitting here today, you're probably thinking the same thing. You can identify with the same thing. And my heart in this Encounter God series is that we would move past being a church who just says one thing and then lives another, and watches our younger generations, not the next generation, the now generation, go, well, if that's the case, I want nothing to do with that. And some of them will grab onto what's real and outshine the rest. And there are other adults and older adults here who just have a depth. And my desire is that we would move past the fluff, move past the hypocrisy, and move to what Jesus said is abundant life. Deep and real and lasting. Does God speak today? You bet he does, because if he doesn't, we're all hopelessly lost. Hopelessly lost. And everything we're doing this morning and as a part of a church, everything I'm pouring my life into, it's just a waste of time, and I really don't want to waste my time. Neither do you. And so if you can identify with these kind of two worlds that you live in, one you're trying to live when you're around church people, one non-church people. One, you hear someone up front say, this is the way to follow God. This is how to have a deep and meaningful relationship. But then you look around at the people, and they just don't seem to be living it. I want to say that that is not all there is to say. That God loves you and God is speaking to you, and he has a depth and a relationship and a plan for you as you encounter him. And things really began to change in my perspective. In my perspective, when I started to encounter God myself. And I started to have some deeper experience at some things like Advance. There's a deeper spiritual week for teens up at camp or EBC. Some deeper mentoring relationships I had as people invested into me and discipled me and challenged me to go deeper, where I could push past all the fluff and all the hypocrisy that I dealt with on a regular basis and just pursue God and begin asking him questions, begin seeking him, begin looking into his word for him to speak to me and beginning to experience him in tangible, real ways and see my life transform. And there were handfuls of us in this youth group who went that path, and handfuls who went, this is not real at all, and wandered away. And my heart and my hope is for all of you, especially for our teens and our young adults, that you give it a chance and you give God a chance. And if you're here this morning and you're doubting and you're wondering and you're questioning and it doesn't seem real, why we're doing so much activity over 4 weeks, it's a lot, is to give you a chance to at least dip your toe in to something real. I'm convinced that if you do, you'll encounter God and you'll taste something real and your life will be changed. That's my heart. So does God still speak today? I absolutely believe he does. Now, I mentioned that there's groups who think that he was done speaking. The close of the New Testament, I'm not going to get into how the New Testament was formed and things, but the New Testament wasn't finished being formed for 300 years. So in about the 300-year gap before they had the New Testament, what on earth did believers do? Because if it's just up to Christian scholarship, if it's just up to knowing the Bible, well, if you have to have a Bible college degree, if you have to memorize the New Testament, if you have to know archaeology, if you have to be just a master of all these things to understand the New Testament in order to understand God, then we're all hopelessly lost. I went to Bible college, learned a lot of great things. I still study and learn. I love to learn, but I don't know even a tenth of what I'd need to know to pursue God deeply if that was the case. Jesus even said it. John 14:26, Jesus says this, But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Jesus said, when I leave, there's a better thing happening. God's very Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, three in one, different personalities, different purposes. The Holy Spirit will come, and he'll come and dwell in you. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to teach you all the things you need to know. Jesus said, you can't understand the scriptures apart from me. Apart from God, you can't understand God's words. And if we think that if we're just knowledgeable, if we're just wise enough, if we just have a bit more information, just another seminar, just another church service, we'd get it right, we'd live properly, we'd have a close relationship with God, check, and we'd move on. And Jesus said, that's just not the way it happens. You need my Spirit in you to teach you, first of all, so to give you aha moments, to illuminate your heart, so that you understand what you're reading. And the Holy Spirit doesn't finish there. He dwells in you, God's very nature, his very Spirit, to keep reminding you of that whenever you need it. That's a wonderful truth. Jesus also said, not only is it not enough to that Christian scholarship is not enough to know God, that the real deep truths of Scripture, the real deep truths of God, are actually hidden. Hidden. Luke 10:21. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned. What does that mean? Thank you, Father, because you've hidden it from those who have lots of Scripture knowledge, the Pharisees and Jewish religious leaders, and those who think they're wise, who think they know how to apply it. Knowledge is one thing, application another. Thank you that you've hidden it from who? The people who think they're self-sufficient enough to know you and know how to follow you. Thank you, God, that you've done that. And you've revealed it to who? Little children. Yes, Father, this was your pleasure. This is God's plan all along. God's plan is that you don't need to know everything to know God. Is it good to know about the Bible? Is it good for archaeologists and Christian scholars and theologians? Absolutely, we need that. We need greater understanding. It helps us clarify. But the deep things of Scripture and the deep things of God are hidden from those who think they don't need God to understand God, think they don't need God to get to God. And God said, it's all about me. Jesus went on to say, Luke 8:10, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. He's speaking to his disciples. He says, this knowledge, the deep things, they've been given to you, but to others I speak in parables. Why did he teach in parables? So that though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. I think I should have that as my new, you know, purpose to preaching. Everything I say, I make sure I say it in a way you can't understand. And I explain things in a way that doesn't make sense at all. Jesus said, that's the way I teach in parables. I teach in parables so that only those who have faith like a child would dig just beneath the surface when they put their pride aside and stop being self-sufficient, and they'll see and they'll receive and they'll understand the deep treasures and secrets of the kingdom of God. We can't know God apart from God. We can't follow Jesus apart from Jesus. We can't hear and understand the deep things of the Spirit apart from the Spirit. And it's important we understand that. Think about the Christmas narrative. Just came through the Christmas season. No one came and met Jesus without God's intervention, without God doing work. Mary had an angel, right? Helped her in all that, understand what God was doing. Joseph had dreams. The Lord spoke to him in dreams. The wise men, there was a miraculous star. Shepherds, angels came. Simeon and Anna, the Holy Spirit spoke to them to be in the temple at a certain time, certain place. They met Jesus. 30 years later, the same people who didn't meet Jesus, so who did I exclude? Those who are knowledgeable and wise about the Scriptures, but wanted nothing to do with God, thought they could know the Scriptures and know how to apply it. Pharisees, teachers of the law, Sadducees, all these religious leaders who put laws in place to follow the laws that were already in place. They were good intentioned, but missed the point. And 30 years later, Jesus confronts this same group. I don't know if there were some of the same people there or not. But here's what Jesus said, John 5:39 to 40. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But don't we find eternal life through the Bible? Like, we have free Bibles at the back. We advertise, like, get yourself a Bible app. We're talking about hearing God. You need to dig into the scriptures yourself every day. God speaks, as we'll learn in the seminar in a couple weeks, that he speaks primarily through the scriptures and how to do that. Don't we need the scriptures to know God? Well, Jesus said, you search the scriptures. These Pharisees, these teachers of the law, had most of the Old Testament memorized by heart. Even his disciples, as young men, up until the age of 12, would have had to memorize parts or all of the first five books of the Old Testament called the Pentateuch. They knew the scriptures. And he says, you search the scriptures, you know them because you think that just through knowing the scriptures you can have eternal life. But they bear witness about me. The scriptures are to point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. You think that if you just go to church, you just do some good things, just give a bit of money, just maybe serve here or there, maybe attend a seminar, read a Christian book, do something good Christian-y, and maybe you'll have a deep relationship with God. Are all those things good? Yes, they're beneficial, they're helpful, but they point to Jesus. The point of everything we do in here, everything, in this building and outside, that's a part of Country Hills Church, is to help you encounter God so that as you encounter God and deepen your relationship with him, he would work in you so he could work through you so that the world might know and be pointed to him. The scriptures, the programs, the services, all the things we do have no life or goodness in them of themselves. Their value and their purpose is to point to Jesus. And our desire is that we would be pointed to Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals who Jesus is. Apart from the Holy Spirit, all that we do, all that you read, all that you study, all that you attend, it's good. But I don't think God wants us just to be good. I'm good. It's okay. I'm good. I go to church. I know God a little bit. It's not so great, but it's okay. I think God has something better for you and for me. Matthew 16:17. Jesus is speaking to Peter. And Jesus had just said a very, very difficult teaching. And everyone, all of his followers all left. And he turns to his disciples and he says, are you going to go too? And Peter says, to whom would we go? Like, you're the word, you're the bread of life. You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And here's how Jesus responded. So Peter's just quoting what some of us could quote if you say John 3:16. Peter's just saying that. But there's a difference to how he says it and what he says. And here's how Jesus responds. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. That truth you know, that you read, that you studied, that you've heard me speak about, you've encountered a living God. And God has spoken that truth in your heart. You've experienced it to be true. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being. So we can't know Scripture apart from the Holy Spirit. Knowing Scripture, knowing stuff, attending stuff is not enough. It's not that you need to do more. It's the way that we do it. It's the purpose and the point of it. Now, there are those who teach that anything outside Scripture is heresy, that God doesn't speak outside Scripture. And there's a teaching that says at the close of the New Testament, God says nothing new. He doesn't speak to us. You just read what's there and obey what's there. And there is a lot of truth to that. One of the passages that is often brought up, and that type of teaching is called a cessationist, so to cease. God ceased to interact with people the way he did in the New Testament times. 1 Corinthians 13, often known as the love chapter, is quoted in that. Verses 8 to 10 say this, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. So they would say, look, where there are prophecies, they're going to cease. Where God is speaking to your heart, illuminating his word, having, you know, this kind of intimacy with you, it'll cease. That what God did in the New Testament and how he related to his people in the New Testament, that'll cease. Where there's prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So where you get extra knowledge from God to interpret his word and follow, and extra words from God and others, it will pass away and cease. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappear. Can I ask you something? Do you feel like we're living in perfection right now? I sure don't feel like I'm living imperfection. I sure don't feel like I have it all together. He goes on to say in verse 12, now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. And some of the teaching is, then, at the close of the New Testament, we'll have all the knowledge, everything's wrapped together in a leather-bound book, we hand to people, we give out to our kids, and you're done, you move on. And it's just not the case. We should have a high view of Scripture. But God speaks to us through Scripture and points to himself. The point of the Bible is to point to Jesus. The believers in the New Testament didn't have the Bible for 300 years. And it was through their faith and the belief in the resurrection that they both grew and were put to death. That's what they died for. And we are no different. We are blessed. We have books and podcasts and churches, and we're not persecuted. We have lots that we can partake of to point to Jesus. But if in our lots we're missing out, we're just missing out. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Verse 12, now we see but a poor reflection. I think that's still now. Then we'll see face to face. I don't think I'm looking at God face to face yet. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. The fact that someone doesn't know how to hear God, the fact that you may be sitting there saying, I have never heard God, I don't think I've heard him, I don't know how to hear him, doesn't mean he doesn't speak. Animals can hear stuff we can't. There's just sounds and things that we can't hear, no matter how hard you train. It doesn't mean that the sounds aren't there. It's just we're not built for that. But when you encounter God, when you seek him, he grants you ears and eyes to see and hear what you haven't before. That he'll illuminate his scripture. He'll help you make sense of your world. He'll speak things into you and direct you and give you strategies and systems and ways to walk out what you don't know how to obey. He'll not only give you knowledge, but he will give you wisdom, how to do it. But apart from him, we can't do that. And I think that's where we see these two worlds. Because there are those who do all the right things, but don't do them to pursue God. And there are those who don't quite have it all together, but are pursuing God and encountering him regularly. And I would rather be one of those people. I want to tell you something just as we close up this morning. Because I think there are a number of people I hear all the time, how do I hear God? How do I know it's God? Well, look, if you want a little bit deeper, sign up for the seminar. We're going to go into that more. But let me just say this, because this morning I just want you to believe and understand that God is speaking, and then start to listen. In the morning, I can't help you know how to discern God's voice. In fact, in a seminar, we can't. But over time, through experience, teaching, and helping one another, we can, absolutely. But I want to help you understand the two types of people that God loves to speak to. Two types of people God loves to speak to. The first are the people who think they're too simple. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus is speaking of being the good shepherd. He's talking about how to have abundant and full life in him, that the enemy, that Satan, comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants nothing but your ruin, but God wants your blessing and you to have a full and good and amazing life in him. And he says, I'm a good shepherd. Sheep are simple, right? Sheep just try and listen to whoever, and that's the shepherd who will show them the right way to go. Water, safety, food, fleeing from danger, all of these things. And Jesus says, I'm not just a shepherd, I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep, they hear my voice. It is your birthright as a follower of Jesus to hear the voice of God through the Spirit of God. It's a birthright. It's something you need to practice to know how to do well, but God is already speaking and you can hear him today. Simple. Remember I said that God doesn't, like Jesus was opposing those who were proud and self-sufficient? It's not that God doesn't speak to them, they just refuse to listen. The proud, the arrogant, the self-sufficient, the spiritually proud, I've got it together, leave me alone, I'm doing enough, you're not going to hear God. Because you haven't yet been, as Jesus said, like a child. It's those who think they're too simple, those who know they don't have it together, that God loves to speak to, because he wants you to know it's okay and that he has things in control. You don't need to. He loves to speak to the simple. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Our mission as a church is to be people helping people follow Jesus. How do you think we do that? We have to listen to his voice first and then help one another do that. That's how we follow Jesus. If we're not listening to Jesus, if we don't hear his voice, if we don't know what he wants us to do with what he's showing us through sermons and scripture and songs and events in our life and all the many ways he speaks to us, it's going to be really hard to follow Jesus without encountering him. Second group of people God loves to speak to. It's those who think they're too bad. So first of all, those who think they're too simple. Secondly, those who think they're too bad. Those who think they're not good enough. Those who think I've got too much sin. Those who think there's no way God would speak to me. Those who think I'm in here and I attend. I don't have it all together. I'm not sure about you, God. I've got doubts. I don't live like other people around me. What could you possibly see in me that you would love, like, choose, or even want to be around it? And God says, you're exactly who I love to speak to. Because until in our hearts we understand, really grasp our need for God, how lost we are without God, how all of this means nothing without Jesus, that memorizing scripture means nothing without Jesus, that all of our active religiosity means nothing without Jesus, until we recognize our need for God. And that from the person who seems to have it completely together, we may look up to in our lives spiritually, to the person who we go, man, they sure don't follow God well, that we're actually on the same plane. None of us are good enough to hear God. None of us are good enough, smart enough, wise enough, sinless enough for God to actually speak to us. None of us deserve Jesus to come and to be a good shepherd, a gentle shepherd, and to call us by name. But he does. The proud and the arrogant cannot hear God. Not because he's not speaking, but because we refuse to listen. I want to tell you this morning, God still speaks. God still speaks. The question I have for you is, are you listening? That's it. God still speaks. Are you listening? Do you think you're too simple? You don't know enough? I haven't gone to Bible college. I haven't done all these things. It doesn't matter. Those things can enrich your relationship, enrich your knowledge and understanding and application, but they don't make it. If you think you're too bad this morning, you don't have it together, I've made mistakes in my past that I need to beat myself up for and that God's holding me accountable for, God sent Jesus to die that you might take that sin, the ways you view yourself, seeing yourself as too simple and too bad, and put it up on the cross where he puts it and walk clean and free and able to simply one day, one step at a time, listen to God and say, what's next? God is still speaking. My question for you this morning is a simple one. Are you listening? And if you're not listening, begin. Spend time with him. If you don't know how to do that, that's the Encountering God series. If you need to learn to do that better, that's the Encountering God series. Come tonight. We're going to set the scene with some worship, so get your heart in the right place. And then we're going to give you some guided time alone with God to listen and plan out your days of prayer and fasting next week, because I want you to do that. It's important. It's a deep spiritual practice that if you've never done it, you're missing out on how it deepens your relationship with God and what he does in your life, as well as all sorts of other stuff in your life. You're just going to bring it before God. And then you're going to get a chance to spend time with maybe two or three other people and just pray together. And then we're going to pray in smaller groups. If you're not comfortable praying out loud, that's okay. You can learn or you can pass. This is for you. It's baby steps. So come tonight. if you need to continue to apply these things, which we all do, find a small group, because that's what you're going to talk about. How do we apply these things we're learning? How do we be people helping people to follow Jesus? If we're sheep who follow, we're supposed to listen. We got to help one another listen and trust him and obey him. And if you need some more information and some more practice, that's what the seminar's for. And then when we offer the Hearing God seminar or the Set Free retreat or anything like that, maybe you can attend one of those for a more full experience. We don't need these things, but they can enrich. And so that's why we're doing this. God still speaks. Are you listening? Why don't we just stand as we close today? I want to invite you just to close your eyes while we head into a time of prayer. I just want to give opportunity. I'm not going to call you out by name at all. But if you this morning are living those two lives, if you feel that your relationship with God is dry, is shallow, you just want a depth and something real, and you want to encounter God in a deep and real way, with all of our eyes closed so nobody's looking, just slip your hand up and I'll look and I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to call you by name. Father God, we know that you're always calling us forward. You're always calling us deeper. You desire for us to be renewed in our lives, not just so that our lives together as a church family are better or that we obey you more, but so that the world might see something real, so that we might be sent out to make disciples. Father, we pray over this Encountering God series that we would encounter you in deeper ways. I pray for the person who's not yet following you, that you would speak in their hearts, that they might choose you. For the person who's not following well, may they not feel condemned by you, but rather loved by you, accepted, with a clear pathway forward to leave sin behind and new life ahead. For the person who's struggling in their walk and trying their best, I pray that you would give victory and freedom, again, without condemnation. To the person who struggles to understand your word or spend time with you regularly, deep in their prayer life, God, help us. Apart from you, all the best teaching and methods of prayer and devotional resources are they just don't do what we need done because it's you. So we pray that in everything we do and everything we say, we would use these things not to take the place of you, but to point to you. That you would encourage us, grow us, build us up. We pray for our kids downstairs and the families who aren't here. We pray for the older people who aren't able to make it out. We ask that in all of us and in all of this, we would hear your voice and we'd follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.